Just after Jesus was baptized, as Luke recounts the story, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by that same Spirit into the wilderness. Matthew starts his account in basically the same way, but Mark notes that Jesus was immediately driven into the wilderness. Mark's version of this story, shared by all three of the synoptic gospels, tends to portray a sense of immediacy, of urgency. Luke and Matthew have a slightly different take. And in the telling of the temptations of Christ, the movement from the wilderness is not quite as immediate. Jesus is led, not driven. And being led gives a sense of one who, at least on some level, is compliant. When Jesus arrives in this wilderness, he is met by the devil, the tempter, Satan. And for 40 days, 40 being an important number, one that indicates a long time, Jesus fasts and is tempted by his ultimate adversary. In hearing 40 days, we're reminded of the 40 days that Moses spent on the mountain and the 40 years that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. Not unlike the story of the Transfiguration that we heard just last week, we're reminded that this is a continuation of something that's been going on all along. This story didn't just happen in a vacuum. This Jesus did not arrive with no history. And the history can be traced back to the people of Israel, the Jews. After all, Jesus was a Jew. And his history is the history of the people. And we hear the word temptation. And we think of the original temptation, the temptation of Adam and Eve. Remember the garden where everything was good and everything was in order, in the order in which God planned it? Remember that tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God said that Adam and Eve should leave alone? Remember that first tempter, the one that came to Eve as a serpent and tempted her with knowledge, the knowledge of what it would be like to be like God. He said, "Why not eat of that tree?" And Eve said, "Because God said if we do, we'll die." And the serpent, who we hear was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord had made, said to her, "Not so. You will not die. God told you that because he knew that if you ate it, it would open your eyes and you would be like God, knowing good and evil." And that was it. Eve believed what that tempter said. She trusted the tempter more than she trusted God. And the world as she knew it was changed from that moment on. She wasn't immediately struck dead like Uzzah was when he touched the Ark of the Covenant, but her world in the perfect garden died in that moment. Her past life was dead, and her relationship with God was changed forever. We know what it's like to be tempted. Our delegation to the diocesan convention last weekend was terribly tempted by Krispy Kreme donuts. In this season of Lent, we are perhaps more aware of the threat of temptation than any other time in the year. One little Snickers bar won't hurt. I gave up sweets, but what will one cookie hurt? It's not really even that sweet, and if it's oatmeal, it might even be healthy. I'm running so late. I don't have time to stop and read my devotion today. I'll make up for it later. We've probably faced even more serious temptations than these. Remember the time when you were a kid and your friend tempted you to lie to your mom about where you had been? Or urged you to slip that pack of gum into your pocket when the store clerk wasn't watching? Temptations loom all the time. Temptations like breaking your Lenten discipline or lying or even stealing are fairly easy to pick out. to recognize. It's the under-the-table temptations that can sneak up on us and cause us to do the most trouble in the long run. Those sorts of temptations most often involve not doing something that we should rather than doing something that we shouldn't. Avoiding addressing injustice is a serious temptation. There seems to be such a cost to becoming involved, and the issues seem so large and insurmountable. The temptation is to make excuses for why some people deserve their dire situation. Prisons are seriously overcrowded, but if those people didn't commit crimes, we wouldn't have that problem. People are losing their jobs, and the economy is in shambles. But if those people hadn't been so greedy, then none of this would have happened. Our culture is in the gutter. Television shows are smut. Movies are full of sex and violence. But if those people didn't buy all that trash, it wouldn't sell. Wait a minute. We are those people. Any problem that exists in our world exists because of us. If for no other reason than our lack of action to try to rectify the problem. Avoidance and blame are hugely sneaky temptations. Not wanting to involve ourselves in the messiness of our world is one of the biggest of all. Jesus, after his baptism, was led into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. Jesus had just been submerged in the waters in which everyone else's sins and wrongdoings had been left. Jesus, who has just been named the Beloved, the Son of God, came up out of those dirty, murky, sin-filled waters, totally covered in the worst of humanity, and followed the Spirit into the wilderness, a place known for its trials on the human soul. He went to this place and encountered the ultimate tempter, who had tempted him with three temptations that haunt us all. Jesus was famished. He had been fasting for 40 days. He was totally empty. And Satan said, "If you are the Son of God, if what is true it was said about you, command the stone to become a loaf of bread. Show me who you are. If you are who you claim to be, show off. Show me. Test God." Jesus returns the bar by quoting scripture right back at Satan and saying, "One does not live by bread alone." Jesus remains faithful. He trusts God to take care of him, to make good on God's promise. Then Satan tries it again. He took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and told Jesus that they were under his control and that he would give their glory and authority to Jesus if he would just worship him. And again, Jesus turns back to God and reminds that we are to worship God and him only. Finally, at least for now, Satan takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, the highest of high points, and says to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off this pinnacle, because your own scripture says that angels will protect you." And Jesus reminds that one is not to put God to the test. Trust God. Do not test God. Believe that God will come through on what he promises, and not just for Jesus, but for us all. In that original encounter with the serpent, the tempter, Eve didn't trust God. She trusted the serpent. She believed what he said, and she was misled. Adam, too, went against what God had commanded, and life as he knew it was changed forever. So much so that he tried to hide from God. But there is no hiding from God, as we well know. It's easy for us to say, oh, Jesus was different. He was God incarnate, after all. When we do that, we are again avoiding the truth and making excuses to let ourselves off the hook. Jesus is fully divine and fully human. He was tested in every way as we are, but he did not succumb. The good news is that Jesus knows our temptations. He knows how hard it is to avoid temptation. He knows what we struggle with on a daily basis, and he loves us just the same. I would love to be able to stand here and tell you, just say no. Or the temptation goes away with age or practice or spiritual growth. But to do that would be succumbing to the temptation of preaching shallow hope. Unfortunately, we hear way too often about spiritual leaders who fall into the trap of any number of temptations. And while our temptation may be to write them off as charlatans, my hunch is that they at some point were not. They're merely human beings who forgot their trust in God and trusted themselves instead. Furthermore, Jesus was tempted in every way. So why would we think that we should be spared? Temptation remains. It is always with us. Sometimes it's in our faces, and sometimes it's lurking in the deep, dark recesses of our souls. Just because it's there doesn't mean we have to fall prey. Use Jesus' example. Trust God. God, who gives us every good gift, will provide everything we need to meet every temptation. We must trust God more than ourselves. Amen.